13 Questions by Man Transcending. Manhood in the Digital Age.
Welcome to 13 Questions. Bill, how you doing, bud? We just got done interviewing Eric Hsu, and that was a wild ride, man.
Yeah, Eric's really high energy. Kind of touched on that on the during the interview a little bit, but Eric's marketing company actually reached out to us. He owns a Single Grain. He talks about that a little bit too. So this is the first guest that we've had since I've been a part of the project that has asked us to come on the show. So a little bit of a change of pace in that regard. But Eric has an upcoming book called Leveling Up, How to Master the Game of Life, which talks about gaming. And he used to be in esports, winning tournaments and all everything like that. So he kind of ties in video games into I don't want to say life hacks because that's not his term, but so that's kind of the idea of the book. And then two podcasts that have had 40 million downloads to date. One of them is called Marketing School and the other one is Leveling Up. So his executive assistant reached out to us actually and asked if he could be on the show. And I said, of course. And they only wanted to do the 13 questions instead of the, no bonus, which is fine because Adam and I were actually talking about
transitioning
down to 13 questions. Yeah.
Yeah. And then working on, hey, anybody out there, send in your suggestions and then interlacing maybe a few bonus questions or cycling through, the list of questions and changing it up in the original 13, maybe. I guess what I'm saying is we can do anything we want.
Exactly. We just need listener feedback. So speaking of that, we did have a little bit of groundbreaking news on the social media front. Our Gab account got its first repost of our status.
I thought you were going to say we got banned from Gab. I was like, what? No.
I don't know if that's possible. But with an episode that came out, the Carpos episode, which I know will have been a while since when this comes out, but I put that on Gab as our status and pin it to our profile, and somebody actually reposted that. It is CLTHOLL as the username. I don't know how to say that, but probably won't hear this. I just wanted to mention it because it's the first repost of that account that we've ever had, and I think I've put it's memes, basically memes, all memes. But probably close to 300 or 400 now. And somebody finally reposted something that has to do with the show. So I don't know. I just thought that was neat. But so we got the Gab thing going on. We're on Discord. We're on Telegram. We had a new member join Telegram.
Seriously, at me. My personal life and between that and work over the last couple of 2-3 weeks has gotten so insane that, oh my gosh, it's possible I missed something. But please reach out. I'm here. I love you guys. I see your numbers. I see you out there. I know the ones that are talking. The ones, dude, you're helping us out, and thank you. But there's more of you. You can email us, 13questionspodcast@gmail.com. 13questionspodcast.com.
Yep, we're here for you guys. And our numbers, the downloads, seem to be on a steady upward trend. So that's good. We know you're out there. And so
share.
Shungite. Share the show, obviously. And then Shungite.
Sharing Shungite.
Share the Shungite. Yeah, gift some Shungite, actually. I don't know if there's any holidays coming up or you might have a birthday. You want to get someone a present, buy him some Shungite. We have an affiliate link. That'll be in the show notes too, and we get 10% back through Derek's store, Cosmic, Mystical Wares.
I don't want to sound like a running commercial. I tried the salve, the CBD Shungite THC free salve, and I realized that salves are usually used for antimicrobial. It's got beeswax, CBD, and Shungite in it. But I used it when I had a migraine, And it really, it's interesting because whether placebo or real, it seemed to give me a really lifting of the pain literally within like 2 minutes. And that stayed for quite a while. I mean, the migraine ramped up from there. So beyond that, I don't know what cushioning it did, but it's certainly something that I am, I don't want to say looking forward to, but it's going to be in my toolbox to keep around in the future. So I'll keep you updated on that one.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. That's because, I mean, the only reason we talk about Shungite is because I had a beneficial experience with it, and you're having that, and we want the listeners to have that too. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep bringing it up, I swear. But, yeah, dude, that Shungite for migraines, wow. But, yeah, there's, like, basically unlimited uses you could try to use this stuff for. I'm reaching over for my honey. I'm about to buy some more Shungite honey that I take on the daily. Underneath your tongue, there's supposed to be some kind of energy center there, but
really?
Maybe that's a little bit too woo-woo. Yeah, that's what Derek tells us. Yeah, but if you want to learn more about Shungite and you want to hear it from somebody that actually knows more about what they're talking about, there's an FAQ on Derek's site. You can get there using the link in the show notes or through our website. And then, speaking of Derek, I think my gratitude ties into him, so I can put the gratitude jingle on.
I have to turn on my laptop. I might have forgotten that again.
All right. Gratitude. I actually got that popped in my head earlier today out of nowhere. So whatever the audiomancy Mr. Felix has given us is working.
It's catchy, and I love his little synth. I gotta find out what he's using for his synth in this song in the background. I'm digging it. It reminds me of the stylophone. But I know it's not. So, Mr. Bill, you have a gratitude.
Yeah, it ties into sleeping. We touched a little bit about sleeping a little bit in the interview, and I think Derek, the Shungite guy, is the one that suggested I do this, but it's dream contract negation. So every morning when I wake up, I'll kind of say to myself that any agreements or contracts that I entered into during my dream state that don't serve me, I don't consent to. And to me, what it does is kind of, it's just in the sense of empowerment, really. And then covering my ass, CYA, cover your ass.
No, I like it. Even from a neuro-linguistic standpoint, which we talked about kind of on this episode, you know, if you're framing your subconscious in your mind with that, you know, maybe the things that you don't remember in a dream, because dreams are slippery, you know, if you don't write them down, they just slip away, you know, but they seem to be there. They're, you know, a functional reason, you know, maybe that helps you absorb, you know, the more beneficial aspects of the dream state and its benefits and kind of, you know, duck roll or let the other stuff kind of roll off.
Yeah, that's what I like, you know. I'd like to think it does that, but I guess maybe a little bit more of a concrete example for this morning particularly was it kept me out of a bad mindset, you know. When waking up and you're thinking, you know, all automatic negative think, you know. So just doing that kind of jumped me back onto the right, you know, the other track.
That's awesome. I have a huge problem if I wake up in a bad mood, if something wakes me up angry or like I wake up amped thinking something's going on just from a threat level response, it seems like the entire rest of my day, almost in like a mantra, kind of like follows that same like energy level and tone, whether it's people cutting me off or, you know, aggravating things. It seems like that's when all the problems seem to percolate.
Yeah, and even when you catch yourself and you realize that, like making the decision to change from that mindset, it's like you have to fight yourself to do it. Because I don't know, it's like inertia. You're already in motion down that pathway. It's easier to keep going than it is to stop and redirect.
Oh, I know.
Recalibrate.
Well, it's weird, right? Following flows of energy can be kind of fun, even if they're destructive. You know, it's kind of why, I don't want to say it feels good to hate yourself, but if you've ever hated yourself, like, yeah, there's certainly a feeling that goes along. And so, yeah, there's the energy behind that. So, yeah, it's good to be able to kind of find a way. Yeah, that's interesting, because we also mentioned that in this episode, just that way of kind of hacking your sleep and being able to give yourself, you know, the best. He talked about the lucid dreaming aspect. You know, that's kind of like a continuation saying, well, while I'm dreaming, why don't I optimize that memory state, you know, or at least try to codify and take the best things from it or shed the things that may not be beneficial. Because, I mean, we have nightmares too. So clearly, you know, you don't want those terrors to be brought into the real world unless they're just to be aware of, but you don't want to be experiencing them.
Yeah, you can do it. I think the term that he used was a power up. So it can be one of your power ups in the morning. Like, what gives you a leg up?
I should say, I really I loved his view of the video games and the verbiage. I guess at heart, I'm still that Nintendo playing N64 loving child. So, yeah, it was actually really cool because we kind of talked about this in between here, you and I, Bill, just this idea that you can have these, you know, magical personifications within video games. You know, they're based on mages and magic and in these ancient traditions and religions, and they build these beautiful storylines. But, you know, still baked into that is this real deep wisdom. You know, the idea that he talked about that, you know, a really good book that survives 100 years is probably going to survive 1,000, and 1,000 years, you know, is probably going to survive beyond that. Well, these ideas in these archetypes, you know, the deep and meaningful embedded ones seem to really come through. And, you know, especially in a medium like video games where it's all about the storytelling and your interaction within that world, it's, you know, it lends to having that same wisdom, like, deeply encoded in the lines of where it's pulling from, at least how I see it. So I don't know. I find there to be just an interesting linguistic connection in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it helps when these video games are constantly pulling from, like you said, like mythological archetypes.
Yeah. Like, well, and like, I even like mean that
God
in just
of War, like one of those, like that's a video game, like Hello Mars, like it's just so in your face. Mm-hmm. And like you were mentioning before, like how that brings up all those past archetypes that are, you know, memorialized in history already, brings them up into the future now, and you interact with them.
Yeah. Well, especially like when you think about that, like you're personifying these people that follow these paths and these goals and being virtuous and fighting and in the ways that they're addressing things. And it's the same personifications in the video games. Well, these are almost like the base lessons, not in life, but this is how you advance. This is how things grow and evolve. There's these perseverances and these things that are built into the way you think and act in the world that give you these other results. And I mean, it's beautiful because in a game system, I mean, you know, you're taking those stories as old as time that are around because they're meaningful, and you're putting it into a medium in which you're creating another world that your mind is living in to act them out. So it's almost like the perfect place for these, you know, these deep ways that work better. I don't know if I want to say like, you know, like the virtuous ideals, but
yeah, it's a way for us to experience the hero's journey in a more fun way, since it's a game. And because it is a game, and, you know, simulation theory and all this stuff, you know, bringing it into real life isn't that absurd when you really stop to think about it. But yeah, that was I was a little tangent off of my gratitude.
Sorry about that, Bill. I'm good at pulling people on tangents. So this is going to sound general, but I have a really hard time with imposter syndrome. You know, if I logically think over all the things I've done and experienced and am capable of doing, you know, whether it's from working on cars or doing, you know, management, loss prevention, all the things that go along with those things. And, you know, whether it's the podcasting and the editing or producing and being on radio, there's all these different aspects of things that I've gotten relatively good at. And I never can think of myself as being good at anything. And as I started to get older, most probably over the last year, I've started to almost kind of be able to just see the bigger picture, because I can't push past the fact that there's all these things that I know I've done that if it was somebody else, I would be impressed with, you know, or I might want to learn something, or, you know, try to osmosis, you know, whatever, you know, that experience was. But I've got a good friend at work who basically saw something in me I didn't see myself, right? And said, no, look, you are much better than you are. And I see you in this position and I think you should go for it. And it was just because as soon as he said it to me, I said, no, like, no, I'm not interested. You know, this is going to be a customer service based management position possibly, or something along those lines. And I'm just that I don't want to get back into management. I don't want to be into micromanaging people. Like, I don't even know what you're talking. Like, this is all in my mind as soon as I hear it. But then I start thinking about the things that really bug me in life, like the things that shouldn't bug me that get me aggravated. When I go to a restaurant and I see the way that they're failing and the things that they aren't doing properly, and I see just, you know, just from a functional level, like, man, you can make this experience so much better and you don't have to change much. You just need to do this, this, and this, and this. And I deal with companies like Sweetwater. They are amazing. I've had an item on back order for 3 months and they call me up. And the first time they talk to me, honest, you know, level on everything that's going on. I've got my sales engineer, Jonathan, that's super awesome. And it's like, I felt so good in this conversation and talking that I don't even care that it's on back order. The customer service is so amazing with the stuff that I'm like, you know what? I don't care that I can get it somewhere else and pay a few dollars more. I'm just going to keep it right. As long as I'm keeping you. And I'm so impressed when people can do those things. And then I start to realize at work, I get hyper critical about customer service and helping people. And, you know, it's always been a core of everything I've done, whether it's dealing with somebody that's been injured and, you know, have to do reports, or somebody who's angry or stealing. You know, there's these are customer service. This is finding out what you need and finding a way for, you know, us to find a way to this level where everybody's happy. And so I'm just now starting to see all encompassing the things in my life that I didn't see until he said, hey, I think you'd be good at a job like this. And I think that's what you should be looking to do. And because I trust him so much as a friend, I said, you know what? You see something in me that I don't see. I'm going to trust you on that. And then the more that I thought about it, I was like, no, that's exactly the type of thing that I want to do. I just never thought of it from that perspective. And I'm glad that I can have somebody in my life that I can trust, a friend that I can trust you, that you see something that I can't. And then, you know, when I put that in all of my skill sets that go around there, and I start to realize, yeah, like, hey, you know, for my day-to-day 9-to-5, this is a place that I could just, I don't know how to put it, be super, I don't know, good at. There you go. So friends are awesome. Have friends that can see something in you that you can trust, and sometimes go along with it. Because from that, I don't want to say I cured my imposter syndrome, but I'm now giving myself a little more credit.
It definitely helps to have that friend who is just that, always that confidence booster for you. I've got one of those people in my life. I hope to get him on the show soon, but definitely, like, overcoming imposter syndrome, like, the cure to that is just confidence. And it helps so much more when you have an outside source to give you that confidence, because sometimes we are not good at,
and an honest outside source, because yeah, exactly. you don't want to turn into the super famous where, you know, you don't have contact and understanding of what's really going on in reality. You know, you need to have somebody who's willing to tell you the truth, you know, because of who you are, not, you know, the things that you, you know, may be surrounded with or engaged in.
Yeah, and it's as kind of like a reminder too that you have all these good qualities within you, and that I'm speaking you in, you know, third person, not
no
you
and specifically. I do find it funny that you but, say that you're hopefully getting him on the show. I'm trying to do the same on this one, it's pretty much a bag-in, but I think it'll probably happen after we've got our current all the people in the pipeline pushed through a little further. So that's another interesting little synchronicity there, Bill. Our imposter syndrome breakers are going to have to atone for their actions. I'm what you made me, damn it.
Synchros are just bleeding over everywhere. I've had a couple ones with storms recently, but I won't get into that. Bringing people on the show. This we are trying to make it open source, listeners. So if you have not only guest suggestions, but if you want to sit down with somebody that you value, a role model in your life, and ask them the 13 questions, send it in to us. We can, edit it, punch it up with sound quality. Adam can work his magic on it, and we can put it out as an episode.
Listen, I can work some magic. At the beginning of this episode, I apologize. My levels were all over the place. I didn't have them right. I bumped the knob, not realizing, and it's blown out. And through the magic of editing, you're totally going to hear it, and it's going to sound awful, but only for the first 10 minutes. But I can make you sound better than that. Just record better than me.
Yeah. But speaking of recording, like we were talking, the intro that I was editing for the episode today I was working on, we were talking about how iPhones, like just simple, something mm-hmm. as simple as that. So it and just the level of technology. So guys, it's not that hard to do.
Hey, here's real simple. So our backup recording, which you may or may not know that you have heard before, has been used on a lot of podcasts. When something goes wrong on the main recorder, that one gets used, which means what am I using? I'm using a $30 microphone, which I'm using instead of my $100 microphone. It's going directly into a mixer. So my main mixer is bigger, but the one that's interfacing with the computer, that's a $70 item. These are all high-end items for what you need. You know, you can get a simple USB microphone that plugs directly in, records into Zoom, or for $100, that's the big money, you get the same quality available on this podcast. If you're using earbuds, boom, you've already solved the problem with isolating that sound. And if you guys have a good environment without any background bleed through and your levels are recorded fine, not really difficult to do. Zoom does 99% of this. Your audio will sound the same as it's sounding right now. So, yeah, and whether you like it or not, some of the guests that we've had, they've been on cell phones. They've been on computer microphones. There's a lot of, you can certainly tell a difference in the richness, but you might not realize that you're speaking to somebody on an iPhone. So a little bit of magic I can do on my own, boosting levels, doing some compression, a few other little tricks.
Yeah, so let us kind of be that friend in your ear that gives you that little confidence booster to maybe go out and do one of these recordings.
Exactly. I'm lucky because I had somebody like Angie's dad who I was able to interview, go out and get a recording. And that I did on a little personal recorder, you know, a little Roland RO7. That's what it is. Yep. It's an RO7. And I had that there and I just did everything on that, hit a button, record. And that's what ended up posting for us. So, if you have somebody like that in your life, please record it. You know, I can't be next to your grandfather right now, you know, or your best friend, or, you know, the person who you truly value. So, you know, if you can make that connection to that person, you can ask the questions. If you can't, or you want us to, send us information. We're always looking for different people. I know I mentioned it here before. Just the idea that we have different interests and different feelers and, you know, different places that we're looking, but you being a whole different person with different interests and like are going to be able to bring different fingers and find different places and different people. And, you know, it's just, you know, we can use you to bring that wisdom to everybody. So.
Yeah, and if you don't want to do any of that, then just share the show. Share it with someone that you love and that you think that would enjoy it and maybe benefit from it.
And if you find value, please show us your value. I should say this when Bill knows this, most people out there don't know it. I almost always turn off my video, and that's because I'm starting to have memory issues on my computer. So I'm looking at that new M1, I'm saving up, but it's simple things like that. If I was able to get to that step faster, I'm certainly not begging or asking, but you know, if I could get that step faster, that means that our interviews are going to be a little bit better. I can share video more often. We're going to get less latency on that. It's going to be a better recording on the other end. I can start doing things like I have you put the 13 questions in for me because I can't open up my web browser while having Zoom open at the same time. So there's all these little things that, I don't know, when I think of supporting the show, those are my big dreams, is improving the quality, improving our ability to run more tools on it when we export and export faster. You know, believe it or not, right now, just on my current system for exporting, I've got, usually, depending on the episode, let's say a long episode, 35 to 45 minutes of export time or audio processing time. And that's before I get into doing any of the editing. So it's things like that. I wish I could just speed right on up. But one day, Bill. One day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we're value for value. So, I mean, we would like to increase the quality of the product that we put out. But we need your support to do it. So sign up for a monthly or one time on the website. You can, like we already mentioned, the Shungite. You can buy some Shungite and help support that way. Stickers are still in the work. This is the longest tease ever, but I've talked to Alan. We're going to have him on the show eventually. Hopefully the stickers will be on the website before then. We'll see. But yeah, there's going to be some more tangible objects for you to help support the show if you don't want to do the one time or monthly.
And share. Wisdom is valuable. Nobody can take it from you. And when you get great wisdom, you carry it everywhere forever. And it's always there as a tool to be pulled out and used. And even cooler, you can share it. You can give it to somebody else. You can take something that massively benefited your life or way of thinking or modality, and you can hand that to another person and give them the wisdom to be able to improve their life, the world, your life eventually, right? You can see the reflection of yourself and others, and that's the power of this podcast. So share your wisdom with us, connect us with the people with wisdom, and share the show.
Share it. And yeah, share it. I guess on that note, we'll jump into the interview.
13 questions. Coming up. All right, Eric, you ready to dive into the questions tonight?
Let's rock.
Awesome. What was the best advice ever given to you, and would you modify it at all today?
Yeah, so I was just thinking about this question, and I actually don't remember a lot of advice that was given to me, but I tend to remember a lot of quotes. And the one quote that's always stuck with me is the Winston Churchill quote, "If you're going through hell, keep going." And I don't think I would modify it at all. In fact, I love it. I think going through, you know, maybe it's a little extreme, but I think going through pain or going through the pain of failure is a prerequisite to quote unquote success. And so, yeah, I wouldn't change a thing about it. I think it's very wise.
No, I love that. I didn't even thought of that before having that kind of pain, but it almost I think of like ritual, like, you know, those older rituals that people would go through just, you know, to test yourself that, you know, that there's kind of this intrinsic, you know, value in it, even in, you know, business or whatever aspect it might be applied.
Totally. Yeah. It's, you know, whichever quotes are simplest, like the one or two liners, those are ones that generally stick with me, right? The think in decades, that type of stuff. So, but I'm totally with you.
Phenomenal. What was the most important lesson you learned from your parents?
That's a loaded one. So You know, I actually, I work with a coach, and we've kind of been unpacking a lot of the, you know, a lot of how we're programmed, a lot of how we are as human beings comes from our childhood, you know, because we're with our parents. I think the majority of us are until 18 years old, at least, or maybe 22 years old, you know, and sometimes even up to 25 years old now, right? Who knows what's going on in the world. So, I think for me, it's learning to, you know, I've learned to mirror my mom more, and I'll explain what that means in a second. I've learned to kind of not mirror my father as much because they're very different characters. But what I will say is that, you know, growing up, my mom was a matriarch. She kind of brought she put bread on the table. She would pick me up from school. She'd kind of do everything. She was like Wonder Woman, right? And I think what I learned from her is, yes, absolutely work hard, over deliver. But what I also learned is unconsciously a behavior that I've had over the years is that because she's a very powerful person, she's also very controlling, right? And so I've learned to stay away from that. So I've tailored my life around avoiding things where I feel like I'm being controlled, right? So this, I think it's that's why it's really helpful for people to untangle kind of how their childhood went. But also at the same time, I will also go out of my, like, I really dislike micromanaging people. So if I need to control somebody, I also hate that because I feel like I'm being controlled, right? So everything is tailored to that. And so I've learned a lot from my mom, don't get me wrong, but that's probably the biggest lesson is understanding that, hey, this is how I'm programmed now. It's probably not going to change because this is how I've been wired for I've been alive for 34 years, right? And so I think, again, it's the most important lesson I think I've learned is that, you know, take a look back and reflect on how you grew up.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to be able to have that that introspective reflection because, you know, you're able to take, you know, the things that, you know, affected you in a way that you're like, well, I don't, you know, this isn't like, you know, cohesive to how I think I should function. And you're able to still learn from it and then, you know, build on top of that, which is amazing because it means that, you know, it's not that you have to only learn the good stuff. It's that you can take other people's, you know, weaknesses and, you know, gain strength from them, which is, I mean, totally. The most amazing parenting ever, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, no, but by default, it was for sure.
That's awesome. What book has been most influential on your life and why?
Yeah, I think for me, probably, I mean, one of the most influential books would be called Influence. And Influence is by Robert Cialdini. And, you know, there's a lot of principles from it. It was written a long time ago. But the whole idea that, you know, if I buy something for you, human nature is you feel like you owe me, right? So there's a lot of stuff that goes on there that ties in with human nature and really marketing in general, price anchoring. If you just ask for something, you'll get it. And just a lot of human dynamics in there. And it just makes it super easy to understand. The books that stick with me are really the books that have stood the test of time. So it could be Influence, or I'm sure a lot of people on this podcast have talked about How to Win Friends and Influence People, but these books have been around and there's a whole concept called the Lindy Effect, Lindy. So if a book's been around for 100 years, it's likely to be around for another 100 years. If it's been around for 1,000 years, it's likely to be around for another 1,000. So, you know, human nature, I don't think has changed that much. I think, you know, a lot of technology is changing, but I think we're always going to, you know, really stay the same. So.
Yeah. Always a great thing to study. You can, you know, that whole influence people. It's, you know, it's not that you're being manipulative, but it's really going, okay, well, what do you need? Here's what I need. And I'm going to figure out a way so that you see it from my point of view and change your mind. And when you can really start to do that and kind of, you know, treat people kind of like a computer program, it becomes a beautiful thing because you can give other people what they don't know they want, and then you benefit as well.
Yeah. I mean, people use the word manipulation, but I think at the end of the day, that's what we're all doing. We're just, you know, monkeys on this planet manipulating each other to try to get what we want, right? I think everything is kind of manipulation and marketing. And to your, I mean, the word you said, which I love, is really, you know, we're all kind of computers, right? We're all kind of computer applications, or maybe you would argue inferior computers, right? Because we have, you know, we have human emotions at time, which can be a beautiful thing or it can be a really ugly thing, right? So yeah, I'm with you on that.
What daily habits or rituals do you have?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I look at these as power-ups. I mean, I talk about these in the book Leveling Up. And so, you know, the way I look at it is when I wake up in the morning, if I am hopping on my bike, you know, that is a power up because I'm getting endorphins. I'm getting my workout in, it's amazing. Right. And when I meditate in the morning, that's another one, right? Whether it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or even a little longer than that, that's me telling my mind to slow down. And there's no need to judge my thoughts. There's no need to do anything right now. And that really helps me stay grounded. And even, you know, before I wake up in the morning, I spend a lot of time and effort on sleep optimization. So that's probably the biggest thing. You know, I wear tape over my mouth and that helps, you know, increase my sleep scores. I use sleep analytic tools. I use an Oura ring. It's O-U-R-A. I use a whole host of other tools. I cool my bed. I sleep in, you know, when it's in kind of, you know, kind of cold temperature. So about 68 degrees or so. And so a lot of those stuff, those things compound because when I wake up in the morning, I'm good to go. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to compound all these, I think of these as power-ups or buffs, whatever you want to call them. You know, if I've meditated, if I've got good sleep, if I'm intermittent fasting, if I'm doing all these things that you hear a lot in kind of, you know, health circles, but by the time I actually start work, I have 9 buffs on me. And so I think I have an advantage over other people.
Oh,
I'm ready to go.
That's amazing. So yeah, well, that's what they say. Like if you get like a bad night's sleep, it affects you. Well, they've done strength testing where you can lose up to 60% of your strength. So it's like, you know, more than half of your energy can disappear from just not resting well. So if you're doing the opposite, you're optimizing and hacking that system. It's exactly that. You're giving yourself like more hearts and, you know, more fuel tanks to your daily activities. It's a smart thing that most people don't consider, that staying up for those late night shows and video games and, you know, that you could really, you know, just power up your regular day.
Yeah, if you look at life as a game, it's just, you know, multiple puzzles to solve and you just keep playing. It's a never ending game. And then, you know, when you die, that's when the game ends. Then you're just going to keep optimizing, understanding that your body is a temple and it's a machine, right? And you don't want to put, you know, poor gasoline into the machine. You want to put the most optimized gasoline and you want to make sure you're performing to help other people around you. Then, you know, that's what it is. So I think it's just a mental reframe. I think people don't think about it enough. And then, you know, a lot of people talk about mindset and I used to think that was a bunch of baloney. But then, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that, you know, a lot of things is just all about mindset.
Just to touch on the sleep optimization point real quickly, kind of maybe a rabbit hole or whatnot, but we like to talk about like stuff like shungites, stuff that'll benefit our audience. So like sleep optimization, do you do anything like with dreams to kind of, you play around with dreams at all?
The lucid dreaming, I haven't played around with too much. I've actually tried to do it a couple times and it's actually worked. And it's, you know, that was fun because I take control of the dream. I actually forgot how I did it, but I think I did it successfully twice. But you know, no, the only things I focus on again, I mean, because when you breathe with your mouth, you start to get dehydrated. And then I wake up because I need to drink water, right? And when I wake up, I need to use a restroom as well, because I start thinking and then the brain starts working and anxiety and all that, right? But when I put tape over my mouth, it reduces that. My REM sleep, my rapid eye movement sleep goes up from like, you know, 0 minutes a day to maybe like 30 minutes or 1 hour, right? So that's a big increase. And you know, all the other stuff that I'm doing, like there's a air purifier I'm using, there's a silk sleep mask. And then there's the Oura ring for the analytics. And also the thing that's made a big difference for me as well is I use a tool called 8Sleep. It's the number 8Sleep. And full disclosure, I'm an investor in the company, but I actually use the product. But it's great because it cools my bed. It not only cools my bed, but also tells me my analytics. So now I have 2 analytics tracking, and then I'm kind of cross-referencing and making sure there's no big discrepancies. But anyway, all that stuff compounds and I take a CBD pill before I go to bed. So those are all the things I do. That's what works for me. I'm not telling everyone to do it, but you know, your mileage may vary. And but I can tell you it's made a massive difference for me.
Yeah, that's really neat. Anything that, you know, you can do to get a leg up on, you know, in everyday life, sleeping, one of them, because, you know, how many hours do we spend sleeping? That's more than like a third of our lives, right?
Yeah, so spend on an amazing mattress, right? Like my mattress is a Stearns and Foster's mattress. It's firm, right? And yeah, I mean, it's worth, you know, the couple thousand dollars or whatever it is that you're investing into it. It's because to your point, you're spending a third of your life in bed. So
exactly. Yep.
If I were to ask your best friend, what is the one thing they would say you need to work on the most and why?
Empathy. So, you know, we have everyone at, you know, my companies take this test called the StrengthsFinder test. And, you know, my top five, it's very a go, 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 right? You know, there's competitiveness, there's focus, there's achiever, all that stuff. And in my bottom five, empathy is in there. So when I say empathy, it's not that I don't care about people. I think it's more so taking a step back and then showing, I think at times slowing down and probably showing some compassion, I would say. But I definitely do care about people. I definitely do care about their well-being. But it's because you can see I talk very fast and I move very quickly. And, you know, sometimes I just hope that my compassion, my empathy, I can just transfer the feeling over to them and then I can move on. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, if I were to tie it all into one thing, it's, you know, I have this turtle over here and it's really telling me to slow down. So everything kind of goes into this whole slow down thing. And by the way, the reason I talk fast, the reason I move very quickly, I execute quickly is because I, you know, in growing up, I was afraid of being left behind, right? And so now I feel like I need to constantly stay ahead. And when I used to play games competitively, I used to make sure that my opponent, you know, not only did I win, but I had to make sure that I demoralized them, right? But that was out of the fear. That was my fear. It was like, I don't want them to get up because I'm scared that I'm going to be left behind again. So again, all this stuff goes back to kind of childhood wiring.
Yeah, that's, sorry, Bill.
No, I was just going to say that should have helped you out, like in the gaming world, right? The lack of, not going to say like lack of empathy, you know, but just having that competitive edge and then, you know, not really, I don't want to say not caring, but you know, you got to do what you got to do to win the game.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Extremely helpful. I mean, you know, and I played games competitively, so on teams. And so, yeah, I mean, there is a need to win or else you're going to get, you know, reprimanded.
What are you most curious about?
I am most curious about, one of the things I'm most curious about is how we're going to end up saving the world with, you know, all the stuff around climate change, right? So what I'm curious about really when I talk about climate change is, you know, what are the long-term implications behind that? And also what are the long-term implications if we don't solve kind of this wealth gap that we have that's continually widening? So I think there's a lot of long-term implications. You know, you have China coming into power, you have India coming in, which I think China, you know, coming into power, and then India will follow closely. So what is the United States going to do long-term, right? So I think I'm most curious about the future. And yeah, I think that's the easiest answer.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of question marks. There's been a lot of kind of, you know, islands that haven't moved in a very long time in the world. And now just everything is shifting and changing. And, you know, if you just kind of look at the cyclical, you know, history, you know, and you start looking at, I don't want to say cycles, but every, you know, 100-year war type stuff,
here
you start going,
exactly.
Here we are. Here's the situation. It seems like the system's finding that balance. And the good news is, it's like everything, you know, you can have a forest fire and there's a lot of destruction, but there's also a lot of growth. There's a lot of opportunity. Yep. You know, there are some predators that, you know, do come, you know, up and some other creatures that manage to survive and thrive. So, yeah, it's weird. I totally see what you're saying, because it's like there's these big giant question marks that in the annals of history will be looked upon as being kind of these, you know, large changes, and you know, we're in it. So what's that going to be when China becomes, you know, the big power and starts putting pressure on us? Which
change is it's inevitable. So it's either what are you going to do about it? You can complain about it, or you do something about it. So
yeah, exactly. You can yell at the ocean all you want, or swim out of the rip current.
Yep.
What is the most embarrassing or humbling experience of your life?
Yeah. So one of the companies I have, Single Grain, which is an ad agency, I bought the company for $2 out of pocket. And, you know, I thought that was, you know, an amazing win. But the most humbling part about it was a year into taking the company over, we dropped all the way down to one employee, and my outside bookkeeping firm called me and said it was time to shut the company down. You know, I read this book called Let My People Go Surfing from the Patagonia co-founder. And I took it a little too literally. And I was like, yeah, you know, people don't want to be micromanaged. People don't want to be told what to do, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, great. So I stopped showing up to the office. And everything fell apart from there. You know, the whole trust but verify thing, that's a quote that continues to stick with me to this day because of that humbling experience. So we had to build everything back up. But that $2 bet, you know, almost turned into a complete disaster. But, you know, thankfully it worked out.
Well, it sounds like it was certainly a very valuable $2 lesson to be able to work through.
I mean, that's a great headline, right? The ultimate $2 lesson. So,
yeah, especially, I mean, if you like your perspective, it could have cost you a whole lot more and you managed to gain from it. And let's face it, wisdom, that's the ultimate treasure because, you know, nobody can take it from you and it's always useful. What is your greatest fear? How did you overcome it?
I think, look, I think I don't, my greatest fear is the one that I can think of is heights. I don't like when it comes to, you know, doing what it takes to in either real life or business, I understand that failure is a part of it. Feeling like an imposter in the beginning is part of it. Having people ridicule you is a part of it. So that's all fine to me. Like I actually love it when people talk crap because it, you know, long-term, I know it's going to make me stronger. Short-term, it might feel bad, but you know, I love that stuff. So in terms of fear, I'll tell you one thing I tend to do. Like, let's say we go bungee jumping or something like that. I'm the one that typically wants to go first, not because I'm courageous, because I just want to get it out of the way. So that's very much how I operate in the world of kind of just life or business. I just want to get it out of the way first and go first. And I find that I get a lot of things done faster that way.
I like that. Somebody could be sitting off to the side thinking that it's a courageous act, which it can be if it's being viewed. But at the same time, there's also this very, I don't know how to put it, very logical like reasoning behind it. It's kind of like if you have two pieces of food on your plate and you don't like one of them, getting that one out of the way, not saving it for last. Mm-hmm. Love that. What quality do you most admire in a man? Why?
I think it's just man in general. So when I say man, I mean, you know, women and men. I think it's the ability, those that have a beginner's mind or a growth mindset rather. So, you know, those that are constantly seeking to improve, level up 1% better every single day. And understand that, you know, whatever they tend to know right now, if they're presented with new data, they're open to changing their mind. I think those are the people that end up becoming the best versions of themselves. So I think that growth mentality and the beginner's mindset is really just understanding that you're always a beginner. It's always kind of day one for you. And, you know, kind of holding yourself back from trying to develop any sort of ego that might hold you back.
Yeah, people forget that not everybody was like, you know, Michael Jordan was a terrible basketball player before he became Michael Jordan. And that's, you know, little steps equal great distance.
Right.
People that want that best version of themselves also, you know, you kind of have to, it comes with a degree of honesty, you know? So I think, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with being able to know what the best version of yourself and then being honest to actually follow through with it, because sometimes that involves, you know, some shadow work or whatever, or, you know, facing your demons or whatnot. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like that answer.
Who were and or are your role models and why?
Yeah, I mean, the people I really look up to are the people that, and I think I might have mentioned this earlier, but the people that think long term. So the Warren Buffetts of the world, the Charlie Mungers, the Jeff Bezos, because they have this very day one mentality where they're always learning, they're reading a lot, but they also have a very, you know, they're okay with deferring profits. They're not trying to get short term profits. They're okay looking out 10, 20, 30 years out, right? And I think that's, it takes a lot to do that. I think you have to keep retraining your mind to think that way. And so anybody that's a long-term thinker, those are really my role models. I think, you know, Elon Musk, you know, love him or hate him. I think what he's doing for mankind, he's really looked into, like, his goal isn't just, sure, it's this Mars kind of a objective, but it's really to make us a multiplanetary species. And, you know, the whole thing with, you know, Tesla or acquiring Solar City, I think a lot of it is focused on the long term. He could have cashed out. Like, he had $180 million from PayPal. He didn't need to do anything else, but he bet it all. He not only pressed it on Tesla, but he pressed it on SpaceX, like all the money he had left. I think it takes a lot of courage and a lot of long-term thinking to do that type of stuff.
What institution of society or structural aspect of modern life would you change given the chance?
Oh yeah, that one's simple. I feel like a lot of people would give this answer. I think the way education is structured, I think, and I can see the nodding.
Yeah, so, it's huge, and for good reason.
Yeah, I think people we need to figure out a way for you know, it's not. We talk about earlier. I talked about the inequality gap. I think what I'm looking for ultimately is an equal opportunity, but not necessarily an equal outcome. Because I think it takes work to get to certain outcomes. But you want everyone at the same starting line. And so I think, you know, the education system is so antiquated right now, where I think trying to force feed people down certain subjects that don't make sense. Like I actually almost dropped out of high school because I didn't want to go to this one elective my senior year. Almost got kicked out of college. And I think it just makes sense. I think we're getting there. We're getting a little closer with these types of income share agreement type of deals, right? Where I can see that being the future, like a Lambda school where you don't pay anything up front. You pay a percentage of your income after you graduate for the first 2 years. And if you don't find a job in the first 5 years, you know, that income share agreement goes away. So I think it's about aligning incentives. That's one piece of it. The other piece too is really trying to test people based on what they actually excel at, and then taking them down that path, not trying to force them to become these generalists and trying to, you know, fit them in as into these cogs. You know, really our education system is from the industrial age, right? It's but our life, our world isn't like that anymore. So I think there's a lot of work to be done there. But yeah, that's what I would change. I mean, right now, like this whole leveling up concept is just, it's about kind of, you know, educating and teaching. So, you know, I'm all in on education.
No, I love that. I haven't heard somebody quite, you know, answer it that way with the, you know, teaching what needs to be taught for a person's interest. And I love this because if you go back to like NASA's history, you know, when they were creating the space program, there were kids that were, I say kids, but, you know, young men who are just getting ready to go off to college that had grown up in like 10 and 20, you know, classrooms with one school teacher in the middle of nowhere. They were getting taught not this plethora of information and having to pass tests. No, what are the kids interested in? What do I know? And let's go from there. And then they get pulled on based on their interest and put together the space program just by people writing in. And it was amazing to see that they were pulled in because of their interest, their want. And yeah, I could see that being huge, because where would we be today if kids got excited about what they were doing instead of having, you know, one cool class with an awesome teacher that really vibes with you that you only spend an hour with every other day, compared to maybe, you know, hey, for 8 hours a day, I get to follow a passion.
Yeah. And you get to build stuff too. I think, you know, it's really about experience and gaining that, right? So again, I think it's identifying what people are what they're actually good at, what they're interested in, and then helping them gain that experience. It's not just taking a bunch of quizzes.
Yep, exactly. Where in life are you going to need a job where it's just passing quizzes? What is the most courageous thing you have ever done in your life, or if you have ever seen?
I'd have to think about that one. Otherwise, I'd be giving you an off-the-cuff answer. But the most courageous thing I've done personally was probably the $2 bet. I mean, that was, you know, that was a lot of my life and a lot of my time that went into that. But I think when you have, you know, there's four other partners saying, hey, it's time to shut the company down, and you have me kind of raising my hand, it's a leap of faith. So I think for me, it's zigging where other people are zagging. So there's that, but, I think probably the most courageous thing I would say, I mean, the thing I mentioned earlier, right? When you're Elon Musk and you have $180 million, you're set for life. You keep betting, you have $40 million left. And then it's like, you live on your friend's couch and you bet $20 million on SpaceX, $20 million on PayPal. And it's all about $20 million on Tesla. Everything's about to fall apart, and you could still hold that $40 million and you still bet it. That takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of foresight to do that. So,
yeah, again, he seems very good at, you know, kind of, you know, seeing the long game out very well and kind of being able to place his, hedge his bets ahead of time. What does it mean to be a man in today's world?
Yeah. So,
It's a bit of a double entendre. It can be viewed, you know, different ways. It's, you know, what does it mean to be a man or to be a man?
Yeah, I think, I mean, what it takes to be a man, I'm going to go with that one. I think ultimately the high performers in the world, you can see they're all following some type of formula, right? The things I mentioned earlier, the growth mindset, the long-term mentality, endurance, perseverance, you know, the constant learners, like they also seek to be with people that are above their level, to kind of, you know, help raise the bar for them. So I think they're constant explorers. I think that's what it is. You know, what it takes to be a man in today's world. Like if you're watching this video right now, you can see behind Adam, I mean, he's got a bunch of trees and there's mountains. I think it's really exploring. It's learning about all our surroundings and, you know, kind of from there, putting that into how our worldview is, and then we decide how we want to see it, right? We're all unique in our own ways, but go explore and then figure out what makes the most sense for you, because we're all different. You know, things you're hearing from all of us on this podcast, you know, you might resonate with some stuff, you might not, but the stuff you resonate with, maybe you take 1 or 2% of it and you put it into yourself, and then you constantly iterate.
Do you do ever things like personal mantras or anything to try to neuro-linguistically kind of program yourself to be predisposed to certain outcomes?
What would be an example of that?
I don't know. I do different mantras. It'll be like something that I'm looking forward to happening, you know, like maybe it's a job opportunity or something. So I'll constantly repeat it in my head. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the world maligning itself, or if it's keeping my mind in a place where I see different opportunities and things. So it'll be something that I'll say to myself, like maybe 20 or 30 times a day, knowing I'm saying it repetitiously, kind of like when you repeat something, I'm just programming it into my subconscious to be there, always kind of ticking and running.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing I constantly say to myself is to think in decades. I think if we look back to 10 years, last 10 years, what we actually accomplished is pretty amazing, instead of just looking at it from an annual perspective. But, you know, I think having things like this to reinforce. So this is constantly telling me slow down. Like I'm probably hearing it more than 30 times a day just by looking at it. And I also, in my phone wallpaper, it also says slow down. What's the rush? And it's like a newspaper that says the headline. So those things constantly help ground me and continually reinforce. So I think it's really your surroundings, whether you want to have paintings or whatever around you, to constantly be, you know, telling you what you need to hear. I think that's super helpful.
Very good advice. Well, Eric, that was the 13 questions.
Amazing. So that was fun. I mean, thank you guys so much for having me here. And by the way, feel free to go to levelingup.com if you want to learn more about all the stuff that I'm working on. So
awesome. Yeah. Everything will be in the show notes. And obviously, if you have anything else you want to send us, feel free. And I'll make sure I link everything in the notes. And, you know, this is going to be good probably for some people that know you from other places, because the way I see this is like, these are some pretty, you know, deep questions. You have to do some introspectiveness on it. So I think it'll be good for people that follow you from another level to kind of see a different angle of Eric and how his mind is, you know, outside of, you know, your book and the things that you're known for.
Amazing.
So, well, thank you so much, Eric, for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me. You guys have a good night and take care.
Yes, absolutely. Bye.
Why tell you to the truth, but you say don't lie. Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable, yo? Why, I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her, it's useless. Ask yourself this question, why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no Hawaii. Why? I don't want no Hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no Hawaii. Why? I don't want no Hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no Hawaii. Why? I don't want no Hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no Hawaii. Why? I don't want no Hawaii. Yo,
why? Why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always gotta question what all of it means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Tell me why. The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why. And why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why. And why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats? And teachers don't make more than professional athletes. And why?
This should be considered entertainment and not therapy. We hope you benefit from our resources available at 13questionspodcast.com. Thank you for listening.